So first, I have to start by saying apologies for the bathroom heavy post-COVID content, but I...
Oh man, are we just talking a lot about the loo? What's going on?
What we had talked about like the lingering poop smell for people who had COVID previously.
Okay. People have been smelling the shit all day. Okay.
But something that I've been experiencing and I'm finding is that like... since I was inside for a year plus, I can't hold my pee anymore for like more.
Oh, and you already were bad at this. Just for anyone who needs clarification, Jamie already couldn't hold her piss.
It's already created in the 1 month that the fucking state has been open. It's been a little longer than that. But in this very brief time, it has already created a work emergency for me, during which I had to pretend to be buying something at Target and use the bathroom before I got to location.
You don't have to pretend to use something or buy something at Target to pee there.
You do in LA. You absolutely do. I had to hold merchandise and the woman looked at me and then she gave me the code and walked me to the bathroom. They're very intense about bathrooms. It's shitty. Anyway.
Wait, that's stupid. I don't like that.
I don't like it either. And it's like, it's a deterrent like for homeless people coming in, which is also shitty. I'm not here to talk about that problem right now today.
No, sorry. Go ahead. What are we here to talk about?
Anyway, so I've been trying to now in the last like starting just a couple of days ago, retrain my bladder. And
oh my God, you sound like you're potty training. Go on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I found an article from myhealth.alberta.ca because
I
don't trust the American healthcare system.
I can't.
And I felt like it was a better source. No, it's what came up, and I was just, is a happy accident that it was Canadian. Anyway, what they suggest is very intense, and I am not doing the whole thing. It's a 3-week process, 3 weeks and beyond, they say.
This is like a real thing. What did you search to find this? Like how to train your bladder?
I think like retraining bladder, can't hold pee anymore, how to hold pee longer, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Week two, which is where I'm starting. I'm just starting at week two.
Oh my God.
Try to push the time for like when you would want to go to the bathroom, you extend it by 15 minutes. Like, can I hold it an additional 15 minutes? We're going to squeeze the pelvic floor muscles 4 or more times.
Get those Kegels, baby. Okay.
Relax the rest of the body. Concentrate on holding back the urge to empty your bladder. Wait for it to pass. And then this is my favorite part. Walk to the bathroom at a normal pace.
Oh my God. They're like, and now you must, they're like, don't run. Don't run.
And it's not that interesting, but I wondered if you or any other people are now having this problem because like all my other muscles during COVID, my bladder also atrophied, apparently.
Well, listen, I'm not here to get too in-depth into this for everyone. Y'all don't need to know this about me, but I will say, when I was going through chemo, every medication that I was on constipated me.
Yeah.
And then when you're no longer constipated, but you've been constipated for like 9 months, then all of a sudden it's like anytime I had to go to the bathroom, I had to like already be in the bathroom the moment that I thought I needed to go. You know what I'm saying? Which was difficult. It was a difficult thing to navigate. I was like, oh, I feel like I need to use the restroom. I was like, I should probably already be inside that room with my pants halfway down.
Oh, God.
And that was never what was happening. So it was a real vibe.
Oh, my God.
And so I guess I feel like in some ways, sure, I experienced a similar thing of like, I don't know, having to like have fucking self-control again after like 9 months of constipation. Mm. But I didn't like potty train myself to do it. So I'm proud of you.
I'm doing it, yeah, somewhat formally. And in my searches for that, I also found something that I'd never thought about before because I was in some science adjacent websites is how astronauts go to the bathroom. Do you know about this?
No.
Because everything floats. So like the pee is pretty straightforward. There's like a vacuum tube that you like attach to like whatever your stuff is, you know? And then.
Okay. That sounds kind of fun.
It could be fun. Everyone's sharing it, but.
It's like a shiwi that's hooked up to a vacuum is what I'm picturing for myself.
I think it is like that.
It's like a funnel that's like. Yes. I'm kind of into it. I think it seems fun.
But then if they have to take a shit, there's a toilet that they strap themselves to because, like, you're floating. And
wait, so you could be floating around in the air taking a deuce.
Yeah, so you have to strap yourself to the the toilet, like to the wall and the toilet, and like take a shit. But then I'm like, okay, but then what? It doesn't just like vacuum it outside of the space shuttle. No.
Right. They can't just be like sending like floating fecal matter into space.
The astronauts then vacuum it up. So like there's no reason really to have a toilet except to like make you feel better. Because like
I understand though, I think for like reasons of like, you know, I don't know, in a squatty potty kind of way.
Good point.
You have to like you have to assume the position to be able to you know, excrete.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, vacuums all the way, because anything in the air apparently is very dangerous. Like jizz, anything, it's got to stay inside.
Oh yeah, what do you do when you have to masturbate?
I don't know, but sex apparently is banned, although there's lots of rumors that certain astronauts have banged each other, but it's not allowed in space because apparently it'd be like a big problem if you had a pregnancy, but then also like the ejaculate can get into the instruments and then like that's a problem.
Ooh. I honestly, I don't know how you could, if you were in space, resist the temptation to anti-gravity bang.
I think a lot of them probably have.
I think it's happened.
Also,
welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Speculating wildly. Sure. A sex manual, you know, from the 17th century.
And remember, the greatest myth about the moon is that America went there in Apollo 11. Good night. Good night.
Oh, yeah, I would slice my hand open for moisturizer.
Well, we've brought it back to blood magic somehow.
It's franchising our platform. We're franchising it, okay?
They're going to break your legs and feed you to the sharks.
No, fuck Barnes & Noble. I never cared about them. I'd throw hands at Dan Brown, okay?
The handsome snakes with wings fucked the women all night. Nobody ever talks about that passage.
Welcome. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, pseudoscience, real science,
earth science.
Anti-gravity, boning, earth science apparently, but space science. Ooh, mm-hmm. More on that. In order to determine why people are the way that they are, that is Jamie Ryan explaining fecal vacuums to us in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams down to bone in an anti-gravity chamber in Chicago.
Absolutely, I would do that.
I
think it could be hard to get like a little bit of leverage, but I'm willing to do what it takes.
There would be relearning of motions. The couplings would become very important. You'd need to really work with your partner. It's a whole other skill set, I'd imagine.
I'm down to clown. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm down to learn. Anyway, not here to talk about anti-gravity sexual experiences, although not so far, because... Oh. Welcome, first of all, to season 7. Thank you if you've been with us from the beginning. And if you haven't, I guess that's fine, too. But
is it, though? Is it?
No. I love everyone, not just legacy listeners, if you will. Anyway.
That's fair. We like you all.
Welcome to season 7. And we are starting with a very, very special themed month. Austin, do you want to do the honors?
Welcome to fucking space camp.
Cadets, welcome.
Did you, child of the 90s, watch commercials on your Nickelodeon Cartoon Network lifestyle where kids in fake NASA jumpsuits went to space camp and you thought to yourself, I want to go to space camp? Well, now you can go to space camp thanks to us.
Absolutely. This is the Why Are You Like This Space Camp, a month-long sleepaway experience for anyone and everyone, provided free of charge by us. And I would encourage cadets to book their own sleepaway lodging at any free location to them to, you know.
And I'll tell you this, we do not ban boning.
We do not. It's much
at our
encouraged.
Space camp.
Much encouraged.
No, in fact, we would like it if you had sex at our space camp.
Absolutely. I would go so far as to say we should probably have bowls of contraceptives around.
Honestly, goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing it.
So on this inaugural day, we will be discussing moon landing conspiracies. And it's about fucking time, honestly.
Honestly, guys, there's so much to unpack in Space Camp, and there's so much to get into. And just, like, I'm really excited to share this month with you. And I'm really excited to start with some moon landing juju, because Jamie may have teased us a time or two with some hot takes about the moon landing. And I really don't know that much about... I know the conspiracies that exist, but I don't know the details of them. And I don't know. I'm ready to be disillusioned. I'm ready to doubt America. Okay?
Absolutely. That's how we want you. Just young and disillusioned.
Okay.
So, today, this evening, whenever, I'll be taking you through what we were told, what the naysayers say, and then I would like for us to attempt to really look at all sides of this and maybe then try to decide if we really are believers in the Apollo 11 myth or not.
Okay, you decide.
You decide. So before we get into it, Austin, scale of 1 to 10, how certain are you that America landed on the moon in 1969 via Apollo 11?
As someone who's never looked into the conspiracies on this, like, I really have no research other than just, like, some people are like, yeah, this is a fucking conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm entering this episode at, like, truly, like, a 9 of being like, yeah, we've been to the moon.
You're here to believe what you were told. Yes.
Yeah, I'm. And you know what? But here's the thing. Speaking of believing things you're told, I don't know. I'm like fully ready to maybe exit this conversation on less firm footing. OK.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was ready to be flexible in my research this week as well. And I will say that I used to believe like the conspiracies that we didn't land on the moon for sure. And
right.
In doing this research, I had to reflect on why I was so staunch in my disbelief. And because I'm some of the things that I thought like were better conspiracy theories, basically like I watched a moon landing conspiracy documentary when I was 11, and it really
got me. This runs deep. Okay.
Really got me interested in like conspiracy theories, and just like it made sense to me that there would be things going on that like the general population didn't know about. And like, you know, of course someone could fake something like this. It felt very plausible, but I was also 11. Sure. And admittedly, I haven't revisited this information too much. So much in the way that people hold on to the religions they learned as children, I held on to the belief that the Apollo 11 mission was fake because I was shown that information at a young age and then never questioned it later. So I just want to own that up top.
Okay. I like the ownership of this, and I do think that's a good way to think about it. Like sometimes like the stuff we learn in like formative years is like the most unquestioned shit, you know?
Because it led me to question other things that were important to question. So for that reason, I am grateful for this conspiracy. Anyway, I stand by my feelings, though, that Apollo 11 did not go to the moon. I would say, like, it's more of a belief. I don't know that I have, like, amazing hard evidence to back it up. We'll get into all of that.
But
I think I've always thought, like, that we did go to the moon. I've never been a person who thought, like, we've never been to outer space. Like, I don't think that at all. I think that Apollo 11 probably didn't go, but that we have been later, like... And then I'm like, well, we're stripping those astronauts of some glory, not giving them the credit
Would be true, yeah.
So that's where I'm at. And then just to ground us in the American public, where, you know, we'd love to be grounded. In 2019, approximately 5% of Americans believe that the Apollo 11 moon landing was faked. 5%.
5%. Okay, that's... Honestly, in terms of conspiracy theories, I feel like that's probably kind of generous. Like, that's probably kind of high.
I think it's lower than lizard people, just to quote an earlier demographic, which is odd to me. Like, who's believing that we went to the moon, but they are believing in lizard people? Anyway, so...
Yeah, that's interesting.
So the other half of this stat is really interesting to me, though. So only 5% think that it was faked, for sure.
Okay.
But... only 61% are sure that it was real, and the rest fall somewhere in uncertainty. So there's like almost a quarter of the population that's like, ooh, like probably, but we might not have. So that is quite a bit of doubt. And that could perhaps explain like the perpetuation of this conspiracy to a degree. If everyone's like, this one's not that big of a deal, but like we're open to that, like this could have been fake. And it's a less intense one to believe in than lizard people, for example.
I think that's right. Like, I do feel like this is, like, lower barriers to entry and all it's, like, believing. Yeah.
It doesn't fuck with your political beliefs.
Right. And it doesn't necessarily fuck with your, like, sense of humanity. Nope. Like, lizard people thinking that they're, like, ancient alien reptilian hybrids is, like, really different than being, like, I think we faked a lunar landing. Like, we showed fudged, you know, video footage or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And some of it maybe comes down to timeline. Like, lizard people is literally a conspiracy that goes back to, like, the formation of the Earth. And,
yeah,
like, the moon landing happened in 1969. And so, like, that's only been, you do the math, you know, less than a century. Yeah. So, speaking of less than a century, I would like to do a semi-dramatic reading of Wikipedia for our cadets, space cadets.
Are you going to use Old Testament voice for the cadets?
I guess we'll start with that. So basically, first I want to set the stage a little bit in my regular voice and tell you that, like, in the 60s in America, we were in the Cold War, which, you know what the Cold War is probably. See also episode Bobby Fischer if you want more on the Cold War.
Where is he? Where is he? I don't know. I don't know.
But basically, America is very, very concerned about the what they think is the rising, encroaching power of Soviet communism. And there's the whole arms race with the Cuban Missile Crisis and all of that shit. And everyone's afraid of the mushroom cloud. And we're going to have, like, another world war, like, against communism. And so, like, America, like, everyone, like, really needs propaganda. And I'm just going to say that. And I will also say that JFK, perhaps wanting the American people to believe in America, promised that we would go to the moon and back before the decade of the 60s was over. So,
that's true. There was a lot of hype about this.
There was indeed a promise. And I'm not saying that July 69 was, like, sweeping it in 11th hour, but it is close to the end of the promised time frame. Anyway.
That's true. That is true.
So Wikipedia tells us, Apollo 11, July 16th, 1969, through the 24th, was the spaceflight that allegedly first landed humans on the moon. Commander Neil Armstrong and Lunar Module pilot Buzz Aldrin formed the American crew that landed the Apollo Lunar Module Eagle on July 20th, 1969. Armstrong allegedly became the first person to step onto the lunar surface. Aldrin joined him 19 minutes later. Then they spend a little bit of time on the moon. They bop around. They collect some samples. They're bringing them back.
They put a flag.
They
allegedly
put a flag down. We'll talk about the flag later because the flag is a really big point of contention.
Okay, can't wait.
There's some video. There's not some video. We'll talk about that again later.
Okay. can't wait.
Then they tell us, Armstrong's first step onto the lunar surface was broadcast on live TV to a worldwide audience. He described...
Now, I just want to say this real quick, and I know that we do this and stuff from, like, the space station, like, now that we'll see, like, astronauts, like, live on TV, but I'm here to say, like, man, in 69, we were able to live broadcast from the moon. That does seem like, I don't know.
I think we should put an asterisk by live, and we will talk about that later when we bust through some myths.
Okay. I'm just, but I'm good here to, I guess I'm coming as a skeptic.
You are. You're
right
doing
now.
A great
I'm trying to think about the things that should seem weird to me.
Yeah, and you are, and that's correct.
Okay.
Armstrong described the event as one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, And I just had to do that in the voice I needed to. Apollo 11 effectively proved U.S. victory in the space race. Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
To demonstrate spaceflight superiority by fulfilling a national goal proposed in 1961 by President John F. Kennedy. Quote, before this decade is out, the landing of a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth. And that doesn't, like, make sense syntactically, but it's taken out of context. Basically, Kennedy promised that we would go to the moon, as I mentioned earlier.
Sure.
So that's what Wikipedia and, like, mostly schools tell us happen. And
it's mostly schools.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin did a good job of poking some holes. And okay. I will say that by the 70s, like the early 70s, just like the next year, there were already some moon landing conspiracy jokes making their way into pop culture. For example, an early-ish James Bond film and some sitcoms.
Okay.
So it was like already in like the cultural zeitgeist, like by the next year, like 6 months after the lunar landing, people are like, was that maybe not real? So.
Hmm. 6 months after?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
But I mean, I guess maybe that's true of anything like 9/11, et cetera. But we're not here to do a 9/11 episode ever. So just so you know. Anyway, I want to talk about now the myths, the theories, the things that I thought I believed, but now I'm not totally sure. So the first one, this is not so much a theory as it is evidence and pretty much any like History Channel or like YouTube documentary that you watch that is about this conspiracy begins with this piece. And so I will begin with it as well.
Okay, okay, okay. Ready for it?
Have you ever heard of Operation Paperclip?
No.
No, okay. So this is totally true. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is files from the CIA have been declassified a while ago. Like, a lot of this came to light. It's for okay. real. So Operation Paperclip is after, I'll just read a quote, I guess, from Smithsonian. They say it better than me. So Smithsonian Mag tells us that from nerve and disease agents to the feared and coveted V-1 and V-2 rockets, Nazi scientists worked on an impressive arsenal. As World War II came to a close in 1945, both America and Russian officials began scheming to get that technology for themselves. So it came to pass that 71 years ago, 88 Nazi scientists arrived in the United States and were promptly put to work for Uncle Sam. So we imported a bunch of Nazi scientists to work at NASA and to take us to the moon to beat the Soviets. So like at the end of World War II, like Germany falls, like this Russia and the US are like theoretically on the same team. And then we like immediately hate and fear each other. And we're like trying to grab all the best evil scientists for ourselves.
Interesting.
To continue, they tell us that while the military did what they could to whitewash the past of their, quote, prisoners of peace, as some scientists.
Prisoners of peace. Wow. Wow. What a term. Okay. All right.
Many had serious skeletons in their closet. For example, Werner von Braun was not just one of the brains behind the V-2 rocket program, and he directly worked on the Apollo 11 mission, but he also had intimate knowledge of what was going on in the concentration camps. Von Braun handpicked people from horrific places, including concentration camps, to work on building his rocket, often until they died. He also was former SS. So this is not an amazing person to import. And he's just one of many, one of 88 of those. So this information, like obviously not conspiracy theory, just like a terrible stain on the American past, really just.
We have a lot of those. This is a very dirty garment, you know?
This garment is so dirty.
This garment is filthy. Go on.
It really
grass stains like you wouldn't believe. Okay.
It demonstrates America's desperation to like win the space race and mm-hmm. like to beat communism, the idea of communism. And it also shows an incredible willingness to do and hide morally bankrupt things to like hit a goal. So this piece of information is often used to like assassinate the character of the US government and NASA, to say like, oh, if they were willing to bring in all of these Nazis and hide it to win the space race, like obviously they would also fake it. Like, it actually seems like less evil to just fake it than to like save a bunch of war criminals and like give them new lives in America, where they vote and have, some of them were given billions of dollars to work on these rockets. And now I'm like, that billions of dollars is like in the hands of like Nazis' grandchildren in America now. Anyway, I can't spin out about that. Whew. Mm. Okay. Next, obviously, it was the Cold War. I'm not going to say too much more about that. Rolling off of Operation Paperclip reasons, JFK made that promise we talked about. America, we needed maybe like a morale boost. And this could be perhaps that morale boost against the Soviets. See, again, also Bobby Fischer.
I was going to say Bobby Fischer in the fucking chess match. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just needed to win for America, even though he was. Anyway, whatever. So now we get into more of the sciencey stuff where things get, I think, confusing. And it makes sense to me that as an 11-year-old, I would have like eaten this up. But now I'm like slightly more skeptical. So have you ever heard people talk about how the Apollo 11 ship was aluminum and that's a problem?
No.
So there's like a shitload of radiation, like when you leave the Earth. And the theory is that the rocket ship would have needed to be lead to protect the astronauts inside from being like instantly vaporized. Right, like
when you get an X-ray or something, you wear that lead vest.
Right, but like times like 1 billion.
Right, totally.
And the Apollo 11 shuttle, like, is indeed aluminum on the outside, and it lives in a museum, and you can go see that it's aluminum, and that's not a big secret, so it's not like that's a problem.
They didn't hide it.
They did not hide it at all. And so there's this thing called the Van Allen belt that I had never, ever heard of. And
same, same.
It's really pretty boring to debunk this part, and so I'm going to try, and I'll keep it brief, and if you want more, like, go ahead and look it up for yourself, but basically there are these overlapping bands of radiation around the Earth, and they're called belts, and there's, like, a couple different, like, sets of belts. Like, if you picture, like, a rubber band ball, how, like, there's concentric circles kind of interacting, like, going over each other, and then if you picture that those are, like, stacked on top of each other, and they're constantly moving. So people talk about how, like, the aluminum of the shuttle would never have survived passing through the Van Allen belt, and so those people say that, like, we've never been to the moon at all because, like, people can't, like, leave. Like, they can orbit the Earth just outside, but, like, they can't leave the Van Allen belt. And actually, to that point, the upcoming passenger space flights, I don't know if you've seen anything in the news about that. Like, I can't remember who's doing them, but it's, like, $250,000 for a ticket to do, like, a low orbit of the Earth. And, like, a few people have signed up. Anyway, so that's inside the Van Allen belt. Anyway, so there's an article that where some NASA people talked about it on sciencethewire.com. And the article, if you want to read it, is titled How NASA Worked Around Earth's Radiation Belts and Landed Apollo 11 on the Moon. It's a wordy title, but it...
It's a super wordy title, but it's, you know, it's they're getting that SEO with all the key words, I guess. Yeah.
They are. And it offers a pretty long explanation that debunks this, I think. It was hard for me to explain, but they calculated when the belts were moving. So like a video game when you have to pass through like moving things.
Like Frogger.
Yes, absolutely. You have to time it correctly as the cars go by and anticipate when the next car's coming by. So, like, same deal with these belts. They calculated it exactly, and, you know, Buzz
That's
and
what
Neil,
they do. They do math. That's they what do. Space stuff is. It's math.
This, exactly. It's just
it's
math.
It's physics.
Yes, yes. And it was very difficult for me to understand it. And so, like, I think it would be easy to, like, doubt this one kind of on the terms of, like, common sense.
But yeah, sure. I mean, listen, it's very complicated. And I will say, as someone who in college needed to fulfill a mathematics / natural science credit in my arts and sciences, like, degree lifestyle, I did once take a class that was supposed to be about aliens. And then I got in there and I was like, man, this is just fucking physics. And it was probably the hardest elective I took all of college.
I also accidentally took a super hard elective about, it was an astronomy class, and I dropped it after one day.
Don't be fooled, you guys. Listen, come to our space camp where we will not test you in ways, we won't make you do it, but I fucking swear, don't take those electives. If you're not trying to do math, it's how they get you.
Because it's too much of your time for an elective. Okay, I digress. Absolutely. I don't want to tell you how to do college, but, like, take easy electives when possible that you enjoy.
Or things that you actually care about. And how many of you care about physics? That's all I'm saying.
It's a good-ass question. All right. Speaking of physics, well, I guess we're done with the Van Allen belt. But basically, yeah, people love to say that the ship needed to be lead and, like, cite that, like, newer ships often have lead components or different metals used other than aluminum. But, like, it was the fucking 70s, almost, not even. So, like,
sure,
it's an aluminum ship. Anyway, people also love to say, and Austin touched on this earlier, that the video wasn't a true live feed.
Okay, say more about this. This part I'm interested in.
And it was not. And I guess it was called live because it was as live as it could be. But at no at no point was it a secret that it's, like, it's an SCTV style or it's similar to, like, a security camera, and the way that it works, there's a slight delay between when it's happening and when it gets broadcast, like, to the general public. And that's partially because if something went horribly wrong, people don't really want to see, like, Neil Armstrong, like, implode inside of his spacesuit, like, on live television. Like, let's traumatize a nation.
The fucking Challenger
yes.
shit.
Yes, exactly. So
I had that. I was too young, obviously, I don't even know that I was born. I think it was like an 86 or something, right?
Think of the children.
But I watched it recently on YouTube and I was like, man, I can't believe this was live television. This is horrifying.
It is truly horrifying. But let's not forget that 9/11 was also live television that we watched at school.
Yeah, and that was also horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was no secret, though, that it wasn't, like, a true live.
Yeah, it was live-ish. It was as real time as they could.
It was a live news program. Like, the news reporters were live. And, like,
yeah.
So that truly is just, like, a semantics issue.
Okay, I'm fine with that explanation.
I'm fine with that, too. And
it actually makes me feel better that you're like, yeah, it wasn't live. I'm like, cool, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. So now, speaking of video, there's, like, a lot of talk about, like, missing video footage or, like, lost tapes. Like,
now I'm interested.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, and people love to be like, well, who was filming? Like, if we can see, like, the astronauts, like, who was filming? The camera was.
Have y'all ever heard of a tripod?
It was, like, mounted on the ship. It was on the exterior of the ship.
Honestly, that question's the dumbest one that gave me no pause.
Yep, agree. So there's the camera that was mounted on the ship theoretically was rolling the whole time because, like, they wouldn't, of course, they're going to capture, like, the entire spacewalk. And then later there were, like, not enough minutes of footage in NASA's catalogs to equal the length of the spacewalk. And so people are like, where's all this, like, other footage? Like, why, like, where are these tapes? And
okay, this is interesting to me.
The answer is either, like, really unsatisfying or really boring. What NASA has said about that is that, like, only certain portions of that video were, like, marked as important and the rest were probably taped over. So they're just, like, somewhere with something else over top of them.
I mean, that is probably true, but also really they were like, the spacewalk's not that important.
Right. There's not another
that
tape?
That seems a little weird.
You don't want to just go get another tape? No. People are like, so lazy.
Yeah, come on.
No.
That seems a little dumb.
It does seem dumb. And people have kind of come forward and claim to have the lost footage in their possession, sort of like Anastasia style.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, of course. Then this is my favorite. This is the thing that I had debunked for me this week. And so the flag. Have you heard about the issues with the flag?
Tell me everything.
So the flag, if you like look at a picture of like the spacewalk happening, Neil Armstrong.
Was part of it that they're like, there's no gravity and why was the flag like moving or something?
Well, there's no atmosphere on the moon. And so like there's not wind or like air moving around. Like on Earth, like flags blow because like they catch some wind and like float up. But there's not any wind or any, well, there's some gravity, but there's not any wind on the moon. And so people are always saying that like the flag is extended to the side and it's rippling. And it's like, how could that be unless you guys are like in the desert in New Mexico, not on the moon, like you said.
Right, right.
I had never heard an explanation for this, but it makes a shitload of sense. And okay. So the flag, they anticipated that because there's no wind, that the flag would just like droop. And so
they put wire in it.
There is like a half T-shaped wire that holds the flag out on, so that the flag is held by like poles on two sides.
Yeah, they planned for the picture. That makes sense.
Exactly. They planned for the picture. And then people are like, well, why does it look like it's rippling? And it's because it was folded in transit and then like all the gravity changes and everything. It's wrinkled as fuck. It's just like totally fucked up from being folded in space flight. And then lastly, and I did check this by watching a bit of the video. When I was reading about this, I was like, okay, cool. If that's the case, then I should be able to watch this video and I should be able to see Neil Armstrong move and the flag look like it's frozen while it's like, quote, rippling.
Okay.
And that is what happened. Neil Armstrong's moving around and the flag is like stationary in its like crinkled, extended form.
Okay.
So that totally checks out to me. Honestly.
Yeah, that feels fine to me. I'm fine with that.
And most of the theories really come down to, like I said before, like an over applying of common sense to astrophysics and like just not understanding the complex reasons why the shuttle was indeed able to get there and back.
Right, right.
And it kind of reminds me of, I think, I can't remember what episode it was, maybe imposter syndrome, when we talked about how when you are learning about a new topic or like learning a new skill, once you like learn the initial information, like when you are a novice, you often like suddenly think that you're an expert at it or like think that you're like super knowledgeable when you're not. And then like upon learning more about the subject, for example, astrophysics, you might realize like, oh, there's actually tons of stuff I don't know. And like it is possible for scientists to send this shuttle like here and back. But like with my preliminary understanding of like gravity and radiation, I assumed that it was not possible. And so I think it's that same thing happening for a lot of people.
Okay. Okay.
If I had to guess.
Yeah. I mean, that feels right. And like people are probably looking for like simpler answers than exist.
They are indeed. They are indeed. And I think it's like a general distrust of and maybe like a dislike for things that are maybe so far beyond your own understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So have you ever heard of the Hollywood theory at all?
So this is where people talk about Stanley Kubrick, right?
Indeed it is.
And that's really what I know. I don't have like the ins and outs of that. I just know this is probably the part where he gets, you know, mentioned, thrown around.
He does get mentioned. And I have seen Room 237. And if you want to go watch that, go for it. Just a heads up, though, like we don't get to the moon landing stuff until at least halfway through. And it's very long. And it is a journey through one man's interpretation and experience of The Shining and all of its Easter egg clues. So,
okay.
you know, I soft recommend it. But anyway, back to moon landing.
Back to it.
And this is mentioned in Room 237, but a lot of people think that Stanley Kubrick was commissioned or forced or blackmailed into being the director cinematographer for the Apollo 11 moon landing.
Okay.
And the theory is that they went out like in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico and just shot it in the desert, and that Stanley Kubrick had a lot of dissonance about that afterward. And specifically the documentary Room 237 explores the idea that Kubrick was working out his cognitive dissonance about faking the moon landing through artful Easter eggs in The Shining and some of his other work.
Okay, so what are these eggs of Easter?
The boy is wearing a NASA sweater a lot with a rocket ship on it. And the boy's sweater has a rocket stitched on it. And it doesn't say NASA. I'm sorry. It says Apollo 11 USA.
Oh, okay.
And then... very specific. 2001, A Space Odyssey was released 1 year prior to the moon landing, leading many to believe that Kubrick was probably involved with the fake moon landing. That could just be great / bad timing.
I mean, I don't even, yeah, that just feels whatever to me, I guess.
Oh boy, some of these are a real reach. So like the Overlook Hotel, which is where The Shining takes place, stands on a Native American burial ground. And
okay.
The manager who meets with Jack Nicholson has an American flag on his table with an eagle overlooking them. The creator of 237 says that this is taken as a nod to Eagle, which was the name of the lunar landing module that carried Apollo 11. That's like a real reach, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm totally supposed to glean from that.
Yeah.
I feel...
oh, and then the carpet patterns are like remarkably similar to the Apollo 11 launch pad, if you look at side by sides of those.
Okay, I mean, okay, but I don't know.
No, and then there's a handful of other reaches, so I'm going to leave it right there. But
okay, that they seem pretty reachy to you.
They seem extremely reachy to me, which is why I didn't sit through the whole movie this second time recently. I got like halfway and was like, wow, we're just getting to the moon stuff. And like everything this guy has been saying has been really hard to follow. So it's a little out there, but I'm not totally opposed to the idea of like a Hollywood theory that like potentially we could have created the lunar landing footage that way. That doesn't feel like crazy.
Okay. Okay.
And like Kubrick, I don't know. Like, probably he was not involved. Probably he was just interested in the idea of space, like clearly.
Which everyone was at the time.
And it's like super timely. And he's like especially in 2001, he's making work that's like about like man finding himself and technology exceeding humanity and all that shit. So like, of course it's space themed, I feel
right,
like.
Right.
But I will say that like as a younger child / person, I was able to like confirmation bias my way through all of this. And like I watched Room 237 with my dad and we kind of excitedly connected a bunch of dots together. And that's a good feeling.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are like some other, honestly, innumerable things that people cite that are like poking holes in the idea that we actually went to the moon. I feel... okay. That the ones that I've talked about are the ones that hold the most weight or are the most popular. And I haven't discussed the others because they're honestly just a misunderstanding of physics. It's just bad arguments. And so like
I kind of thought the Stanley Kubrick stuff was going to be more like flushed out than it appears to be.
Yes, I also thought that. And like in my memory, it was more fleshed out. And maybe that is just like because I've like been on Reddits and shit. But I didn't that. Yeah. For this episode. And there's not like a lot of hard evidence. People just draw like a lot of thematic through lines between like Jack's like writing slipping into like subconscious writing, and like somehow like the way that it looks on the page is like a nod to like the codes of the NASA machine. And so like, I don't know. A lot of people are here for it, but
sure,
it's hard because like Stanley Kubrick is a master of the Easter egg, but beyond the Apollo 11 sweater, I'm not really picking it up. Yeah, I'm really not. I think he has a lot in The Shining to say about colonialism and like the conquering of America, and like maybe him talking about spaceflight is like another facet of that. Like we're trying to conquer this other space too. But I'm not getting like super strong conspiracy moon vibes from The Shining personally.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I thought maybe I would feel more some kind of way about that, or I would be more excited about it. And I'm kind of actually a little disappointed.
No, I was very disappointed to be honest. And that's why I did not have a list for you, because there's not a cohesive list.
I mean, that's honest.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of loose threads. However, like, the things that stand out to me the most, like in all of this discussion, is just like the Cold War stuff and the Operation Paperclip stuff, and like knowing that like NASA and the US government was doing like a lot of shady stuff to make it happen at the time. And so like, for me, that ultimately does plant a seed of distrust that makes me feel like it's really plausible that we faked that. Because also at the time, the Russians who were racing us to space had like 5 to 7 times more logged space hours than Americans did. And so they had just been like doing space flight for way longer. They had way more experience. And it was like really pretty strange, based on like our skills versus their skills at the time. Like, it was strange that we were first. So just something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's real. And like, I can totally understand the motivation for why we would have faked it. Like, that makes fucking perfect sense to me, to be like, fuck it, we'll do it eventually, but we want this win, like, over, you know, the Russians, etc. 100%. So,
and is it that big of a deal? I'm like having like a little bit of a moral moment with like, if I even have a problem with it being fake or not.
I actually don't know that I care, but I would like to know the truth, just because it's nice to hear the real story of shit in life.
I would like to know the real truth, too. And if it was faked, I feel hopeful that, like, in the next, maybe in our lifetime, like, it could come to light. Because it feels like, based on Operation Paperclip getting declassified, and then MKUltra getting declassified, and all this alien shit getting declassified.
More on that later, you guys. This month, cadets, stay tuned.
But we're on a fucking roll.
Yeah, I mean, that's some real shit. And I guess that's the other thing I think about, too. I don't know, like, why do you think that people at the time and then, like, now leaned into it being fake? Because, like, part of me feels like, okay, like, in 69 and 70, whatever, were people just like, this is so, like, it just felt so wild for, like, a person to be on the moon that they were like, this must not be real? Like,
I would guess that. But, like, in years later, like, after, like, in 1970, there was that joke in the James Bond movie. And then in the mid-70s, there were a few more, like, mentions in mainstream cinema. I don't have, like, the exact citation right now. But
yeah,
it became, like, a nugget in pop culture. And so it's, like, a chicken or the egg thing where, like, I don't know if it was, like, kind of an idea that was more presented by like television shows that then like made people think again and it really stuck, or if there was just kind of like a general maybe distrust that then made its way into some jokes would be what I would guess. But like, who knows? But it really took off after like 1975.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then I think also probably the stuff with Operation Paperclip. I mean, maybe that made people, it's that kind of thing, feel like, well, what the fuck else are they lying about at NASA?
Oh, yeah. Because that would have obviously come out much later. Like, no one knew that when Apollo 11 was happening.
Right.
Yeah. I personally felt very upset by that and just upset by, like, what that means for, like, like, those people have, like, families in America. And, like, you can be fine and have horrible grandparents, but, like, I don't just...
Absolutely. There are so many of us.
There are. But just makes me wonder about some intergenerational wealth in the hands of former Nazis. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel great.
So, I was honestly pretty happy to kind of, like, debunk some of my own beliefs. Like, it's always nice to have, like, be skeptical of, like, my own skepticism, if you will.
Yeah, I thought that you were gonna, like, fucking rattle my worldview on this, to be quite honest.
It shook mine, I'm telling you. Like, it was very, I was like, oh, like, every time I was coming across a news source, it was like little daggers in my heart.
Yeah, I am a little disappointed. I don't know. I guess I wanted some sensational shit.
We all did.
I'm just like, okay.
We all wanted sensationalism. But
maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of the reason. It's like maybe even more fun, you know, for there to be a mystery and to speculate about, like, how a bunch of people have, like, gotten away with this big lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of it for me. That's part of the reason probably, too, I don't think. I mean, I understand that's why I would want there to be a big interesting story. That's some fucking Dan Brown Da Vinci Code. Like, we all want to know the crazier than, you know, truth kind of thing. But I think maybe part of it then that I'm thinking about too is, okay, I guess, like, I'm just somebody who, I don't know, when, like, people think that a bunch of people committed a crime or something, I'm like, well, somebody's gonna, you know, rat on people.
And that's just the primary, like criticism of the theory is just like, okay, so there's
somebody would have told the truth.
Thousands of people keeping this secret.
Right. Like, I don't think so.
Probably not.
No, it doesn't seem right. I'm always just like, no, somebody is going to fucking rat out the team. Like, that's always what happens.
Yeah.
So that also makes me, like, more skeptical of, I guess, the skeptics. Mm-hmm. So
NASA has weird origins, though, and more on that later during camp. But I'm still skeptical of them. And I guess I want to know, like, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to believe in the conspiracy?
Oh! Hmm.
And you can do it before and after, because you probably thought the theory was cooler until we talked about it, like I did.
I actually did. I was more excited before this started, and I was like, I'm ready to have my worldview shaken.
Nope.
But I think that if there were, like, some other big piece of information or, like, some theory that really felt like it carried some weight that could, like, invigorate me, I would be fucking down. I'd be like, let's go, bitches.
I do want there to be, yes, a more plausible theory. Yes.
Which, just, like, what an interesting thing. Like, why do we want this to be fake so bad? I think we're just looking for a good story.
Absolutely. It's that. It's Lemony Snicket puzzle stuff. And it's also, like,
Dan Brown, the fucking Da Vinci Code. I swear to God.
I think that I also might have karma feelings about Operation Paperclip. Like, I feel like I don't want America to have succeeded at this, like, by those means.
That's real.
Like, that just feels bad, and I'm like, well, then I hope it didn't work.
Yeah, then I hope it was a lie. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense to me how that would push you in that direction. Totally. Some fucking
and
karma
maybe
shit.
For that reason, even I still feel doubtful, even after debunking all of these things that I thought from childhood about the moon landing. What a sentence.
Right. Even after I proved that what I thought was, you know, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. I still am skeptical because of my inherent distrust of the program.
Okay. Do you distrust NASA?
Yes.
More or less than the American government as, like, its own entity?
Equal.
Oh.
Different, slightly separate, but equal.
I, like, want NASA to be cool.
I do too. And it is cool and it's interesting. And we will get into that later this month. But its origin, I don't want to ruin anything. But wow, guys, it's explosive.
Okay. All right. Shit's explosive.
It is indeed.
Shit's explosive.
Okay. All right. So you, I guess, fully believe that we went to the moon in 1969.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to keep myself at a nine. I don't know. Yeah.
That's fine. And sometimes we have to go down these rabbit trails to really find how we feel. But I am disappointed because of that need to feel special and have secret information for sure.
Okay. I respect it. I respect it for sure.
Yeah. And did you have any other like questions? There's other lingering things, I'm sure, but questions, concerns?
No questions, but just in the spirit of if you're trying to find out, you know, who's fucking in space potentially right now, I might plug the app you don't know that you need on your phone.
Oh, my.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, so there's an app that you too could possess called People in Space. And my friend made this app.
What?
My friend Brad, who's married to my friend Laura, is like the dude behind this app. But if you go to it and open it at any point in time, it'll tell you how many people are in space. And oftentimes it's just a couple. It's like, you know, who's at the International Space Station, like who's out there. And I just like to note at the time of the recording of this episode, there are 10 people in space right now. And the three that have been there the longest have been there for, it looks like 95 days.
Oh my. Maybe some of them have had sexual experiences.
I hope. Listen, I hope so too. Can't know if Mark was fucking around with Oleg or Thomas or Megan or Shane.
We can never know about Lou Shane.
Or Tang. Listen, there are plenty of people. So people representing China, Japan, the United States.
Is this the International Space Station?
Mm-hmm. For sure. So there are 10 people hovering above us right now.
Wow.
That's all.
I almost said I want to go, but I really, really don't. Oh, quick aside. Would you ever go to space?
I don't want to do it. I watched the Challenger video recently. I'm good.
Listen, if your kids ever want to go to space, just show them the Challenger video.
Show them the Challenger video. They'll think twice.
You'll save $250,000 a piece. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, then I guess it's probably time to wrap us in a verbal game. So cue the vibraphone.
Cue it. Space edition.
Space edition. So I think we would be remiss if we didn't do POTUS, BOTUS, and FLOTUS. But
POTUS, BOTUS, FLOTUS.
FLOTUS is floating them out into space, out of your ship. That's the kill.
Okay,
option.
And somebody, oh my God.
Floating them into space.
Oh my God.
BOTUS, this person's going to live in a rocket ship with you forever. Like how BOTUS used to be a houseboat that you're in forever with someone. Now it's a rocket ship. Yep. You're in space forever. And POTUS stays the same. And this person will be the president of the United States during your time in space. So you might
want to
think about.
I was
going to
say, them being the president has some greater consequence if you're an astronaut, perhaps. We can't know. Okay. All right.
It does indeed. So I'm going to give you my set. And, you know, if you'd like, you can make one or not. But here are your choices.
I'm ready.
BOTUS, POTUS, and FLOTUS. JFK. Rush Limbaugh. And newly single Bill Gates.
Newly single Bill Gates. Oh, man. This is easy. Rush is going to be the FLOTUS.
Okay.
JFK can be POTUS because I'm fine with that. Let him have the years that were ripped away from him. You know, what are we going to do? That's fine by me. And then, although I would argue that JFK was not a very good president. Bay of Pigs, anyone? Okay.
There's troubling times.
Yeah, listen. But all of that said, I'm definitely down to be on my BOTUS, my spaceship, with newly single Bill Gates, because I'd just like to say a couple things about Bill Gates as a person who I would share a boat with. I mean, my interpretation of Bill is that obviously he's like really smart. He's clearly like benevolent in some ways, even though I'm sure parts of it are for the tax breaks. But he also is, like, not pretentious. Like, he drinks an aggressive amount of Diet Coke and, like, loves fast food. That's and true. So he just seems like somebody you could hang with. And like, he probably could answer questions for me. Right. I mean, he could fix the equipment. He could probably answer all sorts of crazy, weird philosophical questions I have. And also seems like normal enough, like not, you know, not totally out of touch with the people. Mm. So I don't know. I think that's my move. Would you do it differently?
I would. So I have a lot of moral conundrums about this because I think initially my gut would be like, okay, you got to float Rush Limbaugh for sure. Then like,
I mean, you can't be on a boat with Rush.
Then I was like, maybe I could BOTUS with JFK. Like that could be like an all right experience potentially.
Yeah, it'd be like, who shot you? Explain it to me. Another conspiracy theory, okay?
And just, I don't like, he's a likable person. Like seems like he's kind of likable to be around. And
I love what, I don't know what you're basing that off of, but go on.
I think just because he was like a beloved president and that like you at least have to have like some charm and social skills for that. And he was like such a ladies' man.
He was beloved
by like,
some people because like the Catholics loved him because he's the first Catholic president. Mm-hmm. Society loved him because he was young and probably the hottest guy who had ever been in office by conventional standards. Mm-hmm. And then like then he's beloved because people feel bad because he got shot. I mm-hmm. don't know if we can really base any of this off like
on his
personality
actual personality. Traits. Yep, that's true. But I feel uncomfortable being with Bill Gates alone for an extended period of time because you just cannot trust a billionaire, and he has spent a lot of time with Epstein, and. So,
oh, yeah, that's not great.
The flight logs are really troubling. I'm just going to say all of that's like alleged allegations. And so, like, I'm not going to say anything slanderous on this podcast, but it would make me nervous to be with just him alone in space and just the entitlement of a billionaire. Like, he could become physically violent. I don't know.
Oh, wow. So, what I've taken away from this is that Jamie is afraid of Bill Gates.
I am. And but
I think that's fine.
Then I'm like, I can't make him the president either because I cannot allow a billionaire from a tech company to run America because America
will
just be a
corporation. No, we can't. That's certainly, we can't be doing that. We cannot be doing that.
So here's what I propose.
Okay.
I would make JFK POTUS, like you said, he can have his time. Then Rush and Bill and I all get into the rocket. And
oh my God,
Bill Gates is my float pick. So like we're going up with the intention to float Bill Gates. And that is what eventually happens. But as I knew, as we all knew would happen, Rush Limbaugh cannot make the journey through the Van Allen belt. And he does not survive takeoff.
Oh my God.
And so, and so we
this
get up there.
This is a loophole. This is a loophole. This is not answering the question.
And I'm shoving two bodies through that vacuum is what I'm saying.
Right along with your fecal matter. Okay.
Right along with it. Right along with it. Yes.
Having a funeral in space.
It's that or like strap Rush to like the bathroom, like just for the duration of the flight. Because you can't have a dead body just floating around in there. That's not going to work.
No, I mean, you can't have a dead body just decaying in there.
No, and the liquids. We've already talked about how liquids are a problem.
Liquids are a huge problem.
They are indeed. So, yeah, I guess I'll be floating alone. Wave to me, please, from your station with Bill Gates.
I mean, now you've made me more fearful of Bill, but
I'm afraid for your future as well. I'll be watching. From my little,
I don't know. I listened to an interview with him recently where he seemed normal.
I have no comment on that. I'm not going to engage.
He drinks a lot of Diet Coke.
Evil people. There is another person who drank a lot of Diet Coke who I don't trust either.
Who?
Who was recently the president of the United States.
Was he drinking Diet Coke?
Yes.
Man, that's disappointing. Why are these people trying to ruin Diet Coke, my one hangover cure? God
I don't know, but if you're trying to drink a Diet Coke, please see also the aspartame episode where we discuss the dangers of artificial sweetener.
That's true. Listen, if you've got some ideas for BOTUS, POTUS, and FLOTUS, or maybe there's somebody you're thinking about floating in space, or if you too are terrified of Bill Gates and convinced Rush will die of natural, quote unquote, natural causes. Jamie suffocated him.
Too much Centrum Silver.
You can let us know about it, as always, via the internet, via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. Good night, good morning, good evening, good day, cadets. Yes. We'll see you
for our next installment. Thursday. So set your sleep game. Pods for next Thursday. Thanks.
Vacuum that urine.
Vacuum it up. Good night.
Bye.